Hey, y'all. We're going to talk about some Apple stuff.
I'm from Kentucky.
Let me just finish this chicken. We'll get started.
Y'all speaking my talk.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. My name is Eric von Elijah. I'm your host, and I'm here with Buster Hine. Hey, Buster.
Oh, hey, dude.
Expert Apple analyst. Yeah, Alex hopefully. Heath is here as well. Alex, welcome back to the show.
Tally ho, governor.
Alex will be speaking in his best British accent throughout the show because Leander couldn't make it today. Leander Caney, he had a Hawaiian hula competition that he was going to.
Oh.
I guess he was competing.
What?
Yeah.
Well, and, he's competing.
Yeah, he's competing in it, and they're in the semifinals.
Yeah.
And he's really into it. And I'll tell you.
He's wearing a grass skirt, though, right?
He can wear the hell out of a grass skirt. Yeah.
I bet.
You guys have never seen his legs, butt. I don't think. Have you?
Oh, yeah. I saw him in his underwear once.
Unfortunately, awesome. So did I. Actually, more than once. We have a wonderful show planned for you this week. As you probably know, Tim Cook is on the stage or was on the stage at the All Things D conference in his first solo appearance, talking about Apple as their new CEO. And we're going to talk all about that. But first, Alex Heath's with us, and he has some jailbreak updates he wants to give us. Alex?
Yes.
Tell us about jailbreaks.
Just a quick update. Over the weekend, a jailbreak for iOS 5.1.1, which is the latest version, was released. Pretty big deal. It's called Absinthe 2.0, and it's the first jailbreak for the iPad 3, for the third generation iPad that was released a couple months ago. So that's a big deal. But it's a pretty amazing feat of hackery, and you can get it for free on all of your devices. And we have tons of coverage on Cult of Mac in our jailbreak section, tweaks and roundups and all that good stuff. So if you are interested, or if you have already been jailbreaking and want the latest one for the new software, then check the site.
Sounds great. And for those of you wondering about the pros and cons of jailbreaking, whether or not you should do it, what the repercussions are from Apple if you do it, we did a full episode. Well, I should say we did a pretty big episode that had a huge jailbreaking chunk in it. And I think that was episode 9. So check that out if you're interested in jailbreaking, especially if you're on the fence and you're not really sure whether or not you want to do it. I personally prefer an un-jailbroken Apple device. Buster, you do too, right?
I like mine eau de naturel, Erfan.
That's what I hear. And Alex is he's much more of a risk taker than us.
I'm a rebel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think different.
That's right. Real different. Let's get into the show. I want to start with a bit of light news, which I thought was absolutely fascinating. We reported today that Apple's smart cover business alone is worth $2 billion a year, which for a lot of people, they're like, who cares? But $2 billion. As a business owner, any business owner out there would be absolutely thrilled if their business was making $2 billion a year. I mean, this accessory for the iPad is making more than I think Motorola is making selling actual devices to people to use, to talk to each other.
Yeah, I'd like to see. I bet they're making more than like Dell makes, like in terms of profit off of the smart cover.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Before the show, Alex, you were saying you thought these things probably cost like 25 cents to manufacture.
Yeah.
I think it's more like 10 cents.
Oh, and, yeah, they got to be super cheap.
They kind of have mixed reviews, right? Have you guys used one, Buster?
Yeah, I personally don't like the smart cover, but
no.
That's Alex, just me. Either.
You don't like it either, Alex?
No, I bought one with the iPad 2, and I used it for about a day.
Yeah, same.
What was it about it that you guys didn't like?
For me, I didn't like, if you know, when it's covering your device, it's fine, I guess. But when you're using your device and you flip it all the way around to the back, it just doesn't sit flush, and it usually becomes like an obstacle, and I'm always fussing with it. So
huh.
I just kind of felt like it was stupid.
Alex, what about you?
I just think it's flimsy. I like a book feel to my iPad. I use the Dodo case right now.
So I'm not familiar with the Dodo case. Is that like a folio case? Like it wraps around the back and opens like a book or something?
Basically, it's this San Francisco based company. I did a review of it on Cult of Mac, and it's this it's won some design awards, but it's just like a bamboo tray with like a book casing around it.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. You don't think that's too heavy?
What do you think, Buster? Yeah.
Well, I used to use a Dodo case on the iPad too, and I liked it as well, but it was a little bit bulky, you know, and your iPad just feels so much better when it's not in the case. And mine broke a lot. The Dodo case did. Mine, so that was the only reason why I didn't like it.
Mine's been pretty sturdy, but my main case is just a black leather in case. It's really versatile, and you can prop it up like a kickstand, and it's thin. I prefer for regular everyday use kind of a thin, sturdy type thing.
Interesting. See, now I think my main problem with the smart cover is they're ridiculously expensive. I mean, the leather one that they sell costs like what, $90?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
$90 for a case is a lot, you know? And they look cool, but as far as their utility, Buster, what you said about how it kind of like rocks back and forth when you have it standing upright.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that criticism a lot. And more so than that, the biggest criticism for me is it doesn't protect the back of the iPad, right? So you put the iPad in your backpack, you put it on your coffee table, and it gets scratched up. And I mean, I am in no way anal about keeping all my gear, you know, 100% safe. I don't wrap my freaking MacBook Pro in a silicone cover like some weirdos do. If you do that, you're not weird. Never mind.
You are.
But, you know, I want my iPad to at least stay scratch free, you know, relatively. My gosh. And I'm not going to throw my iPad in a backpack if the back of it isn't protected. So I'm using a case that I got from Amazon, which is just like a cheap leather case, but it wraps around the whole thing. And I think it's called the Toblino. And we talked about this on a previous episode, actually. It's a really good case. It's $25 if you have an iPad too. Their new one is $40, which I think is way too expensive. I don't know why it's any more expensive than the iPad 2 one, probably because it's new. But if you're looking for a case, check that one out. That's a really good one to use. Let's talk about the Mac Pro for a moment. The Mac Pro hasn't been updated since July 2010. So we're going on 2 years now, almost 2 years, that Apple has been letting this machine languish with this really old hardware.
And 2010 was just kind of a minor update too. It wasn't even like a big one.
Oh, really?
Right. So yeah, it was just like, it was a refresh. It wasn't like a going unibody or something like that.
Well, see, the shocking thing to me is that they haven't even done that since then. I mean, there's a lot of much better like hardware out there that Apple could be using in this machine.
It doesn't even have Thunderbolt.
Yeah, and it's their pro model. Yeah. And I just kind of wonder, I mean, let's just kind of like speculate a little bit. I mean, do you think that maybe this machine has just been pushed to the side because Apple has been concentrating on so many other things? I mean, they have iOS, they have the new version of the Mac OS, they have the iPhone, they have the iPad. Now they're giving a ton of attention to the Apple TV. Alex, why do you think that it's been so long since we've seen an update?
Well, I think it's exactly what you said, that they've pushed it to the side.
Interesting.
And the iPhone. I mean, yeah, definitely. I mean, that's how Apple works, right? They move from project to project, and they devote all their focus and attention to one or two things for a select amount of time, and then everything else gets ignored. So, you know, they're going to go where the money is, and the money is iOS. And so they're becoming more of a consumer company. They're not really a company for pros anymore. So,
well, that's an interesting point, and that's something that we've definitely talked about before, about how Apple's starting to it seems like they're going to start neglecting their pro users. And that's been led a lot of people to believe that maybe, the Mac Pro is going to disappear forever. And not so, says Jim Dalrymple. I apologize if I'm saying your last name wrong, Jim. But Jim has writes at theloop.com, and he makes Apple commentary from time to time. And he's right often, right? When he says something's going to happen, when Apple's going to release a product, which he doesn't do very often, but when he does, he's generally right. Is that right, guys?
Yeah, Jim doesn't say anything just very loosely like that.
Yes, Jim. Yeah, Jim has very well-placed sources, former editor at large at Macworld, stuff like that.
Gotcha. And yeah, he obviously has sources that he is getting information from, because he never really divulges any information. He more just confirms or denies information. And right. He does so, you know, infamously with just one word. Like he'll quote a rumor and he'll either say yep or no.
And as far as the general consensus is, he's never been wrong.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
So, about like launch dates and products and stuff like that.
In a podcast that he's in, he was asked specifically about whether Apple was going to cancel or get rid of the Mac Pro. And he said, characteristically, no. Yeah. And then he was quiet. And the guy who was asking him the question kind of chuckled. And he was like, you seem really confident about that. And he was. I mean, he didn't really say a lot more. But in his opinion, you know, the Mac Pro isn't going to get canceled. So...
yeah.
Hopefully we will see a refresh of it soon. Kind of always been my dream machine, honestly. At least it used to be. I don't know if I would buy one anymore because it has so much space for external hard drives and I'm kind of a data hog. So I would love to have this powerful machine where I could just, you know, swap out hard drives if I needed to, because you can't do that with an iMac.
Yeah, I think we should mention it was the last episode of the Amplified podcast, which is his podcast with Dan Benjamin on the 5x5 network. And I think they could do. I don't foresee like a huge redesign, but why not throw Thunderbolt in there? Give it some, you know, give it the new Intel stuff, Ivy Bridge, expand memory, and all that stuff, and just kind of keep doing that. Keep it alive. You don't have to kill it, but just do slight refreshes.
Right. See, that seems like a no-brainer. It's like, at least update it with the newest hardware that's out there. And right. give it the newest, you know, like like plugs and stuff that you're going to be supporting. That's a bad way of saying that. But like, at least plugs. Give it Thunderbolt, right?
Ports.
Give it new plugs. Come on, guys.
My USB plugs.
My USB plugs are totally old.
I still got FireWire plugs.
USB 3. The new MacBook Pros are supposed to have USB 3.
Oh man, I'm actually really excited about the new MacBook Pros. We've dedicated enough time to those in previous episodes, but I wasn't planning on buying a new MacBook Pro this year. And then after all the rumors we've heard, and it looks like we're going to see some new MacBook Pros here in 11 days. And actually, it's worth mentioning. I had a Twitter listener asked me, or a listener on Twitter asked me, if he should return his MacBook Pro because he just bought it. And my answer to him was absolutely yes.
Yeah.
If you have bought a MacBook Pro and you're within Apple's return period, return it. Because on the 11th, I think the whole Apple community would be shocked if we didn't see new MacBook Pros from Apple.
Right. Yeah, it would be a huge, like, WTF moment.
Huge WTF moment. Thank you. Well said. And especially because Apple generally starts their back-to-school program around mid-June, right? So that's another reason why we're probably going to see new Macs, because they're really going to try and push them. Plus, you'll probably get something for free.
Yeah, this time frame right now each year is the worst time of the year to buy Mac gear.
It really is. It really is. And in about a month, will be possibly the best.
Right.
Right.
So, and if you caught one of our, I think two episodes ago, I kind of spoke about how to get the best price on Apple stuff. And if you use those tricks that I talked about and also got like something for free from Apple, you could get a MacBook Pro or an iMac for a song.
For a song?
Man, you were into pimping the old shows today. Look at you.
Well, we have such a catalog of information now, right?
You're a media professional.
I think it was, except I can never remember what episode it was. I never remember, so you'll just have to go back and listen to all 20 hours.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there is the information I have referred to. But let's just hope that Apple doesn't pull another, hey, forget about the free iPod with your back to school, you know, program purchase.
Oh, you get a stupid, and get a
freaking stupid iTunes card.
Dude, that's what happened to me last year. I was really looking forward to buying my new MacBook Air and getting like the you know, the student discount and the back to school thing, and it was just a stupid gift card. I was so upset.
yeah, me too.
And I didn't at least give me an iPod Nano, you know?
Yeah, give me something I can sell on eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what, you know, I always did. I mean, that's kind of like how, well, let's just talk about saving money since I already brought it up. I mean, that's kind of how I've done it, right? Is you buy during June when they're doing their back to school program, and they were giving away iPod, you know, touches or whatever, and then you'd sell that on Craigslist or something.
Yeah.
Or eBay, and you'd make like an extra $150. And then you also get the student discount if you're a student, although they don't check.
Like $200-$300 off, you know.
And then I would do the Discover card credit card trick, which I talked about that on a previous show, as I mentioned. And if you link to Apple's website through the Discover credit card website, if you have a Discover card, you get 5% back from your purchase. So if you spend, you know, $2,000 on a computer, you get $100 back cash. So I was saving like, you know, $300-$400 on every Apple purchase, every Apple computer I bought.
Nice.
And that's how the players do it.
Oh, show.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Tim Cook. That's been the big news this week, right, guys?
Right.
And you guys watched the videos of Tim Cook. He's at the All Things D conference, and he was talking about all sorts of things. And we got a lot of really great commentary from Tim. And before we kind of call out specific things that he talked about, you guys saw the videos of him speaking. I just kind of want to ask you individually, what did you think of his performance? This is his first time by himself, solo as Apple CEO, at one of these kinds of events, speaking about Apple. Alex, how do you think he performed?
I really liked it. I was really impressed. You know, we all think of Cook as kind of this quiet, stern, you know, really secretive kind of guy, and he is all that, but he also has personality, and it was good to see that come out in the interview. And, you know, I think he said ass twice in two different contexts. And I mean, the guy can joke around, and he, you know, what I loved about it was Walton Kara kept hammering him about future products. Like, okay, are you doing this? Are you doing this? And of course they know that he's not going to say anything. But it was just interesting to see him remain interesting while also not revealing anything. So he just kind of alluded to things, didn't reveal anything that would get him in trouble, but still kind of kept you on your toes. It was still really interesting to watch him go back and forth with Walt and Kara, who are, you know, some of the most hard-hitting interviewers out there.
Yeah, he definitely alluded to some stuff, which we'll talk about. But Buster, same question to you. How do you think he did?
I mean, he did well. He's a Southern gentleman, you know.
He is a Southern gentleman.
I would have liked to see him. I felt like Walt and Kara were actually like giving him some, like lofting up some great ones where he could diss the competition really well.
Right.
And he just refused to. And I felt like Steve Jobs would have definitely taken that. Like
he would have bet.
Like there was that time when he said iTunes on Windows was like giving people in hell a glass of ice water. Right. You know. And I was like, there was, you know, some one time where they asked him like, oh, do you like, they were comparing like products to art and paintings. And they were like, do you like Google's painting and stuff? And, you know, Steve, I just felt like he could have been, you know, a little bit more funny with that stuff. But yes. That's just, I would like somebody to be a little bit of a jerk to people sometimes.
He's definitely more diplomatic and political than Jobs. And
yeah, not he's as, a really nice know, guy.
not as charismatic. And I mean, not, I don't want to say that, but not as, definitely not as aggressive just in his demeanor.
Right.
And I don't know.
I kind of agree with bits and pieces of what both you guys said. I mean, Alex, I think the biggest thing for me was what you said. Like he seemed like a serious kind of, I don't want to say staunch, but he kind of seemed like a serious executive who didn't really joke around a lot. He was very soft spoken, and he seemed kind of like, you know, your accountant would be when I would see him speak previously. And in this, like, I thought he came off very charismatic. He seemed very gregarious and likable, and he was making jokes, and he seemed to be answering their questions very well. He wasn't saying or huh or all these like strange words in between his sentences. He would stop and think when he was asked a question, and sometimes he would pause for, you know, 5 seconds, and he would think about what their question was, and then he would answer it, you know, as best as he could. But I think he came off brilliantly. I was really surprised. I think for me, it really kind of affirmed his position as CEO at Apple. Because, you know, that position at Apple hasn't just been, you know, I direct the company and I lead the product development and all that other stuff. But it's a very, you know, it's like being the queen of England. It's a very presentational position.
Yeah.
And I never would have thought, he always seemed like a workhorse and not a show pony to me. And he came off as a great show pony. I was like, wow, he really did a good job. Like, he really surprised me, because I was like, oh boy, this is going to be boring. But he definitely alluded to a lot of stuff. And let's talk about some of that stuff.
Right.
His comments on the Apple TV. Let's start with that. Apple TV was one of those products. It was like the Mac Pro for a long time, right? It was just kind of sitting there. And it was something that Apple had released, but there wasn't really anything happening with it that was exciting. And now all of a sudden, I feel like it's being updated a lot more often. And everyone's expecting Apple to release like a proper television, right? And we've talked about that several times in previous episodes. You should go back and watch it. And he didn't say anything specific, of course, but he did say something along the lines of, when asked about the Apple TV specifically, like the real TV, he said something along the lines of, can Apple control or own the key technology? Can it make a significant contribution beyond others in the industry? And can it build a product that we all want? And he didn't really answer those questions, but he did say that the Apple TV is not just the fifth leg on the stool, and it sounded like he was saying that Apple TV is being taken a lot more seriously. It kind of, to me, sounded like he was saying, we're going to release an Apple TV soon. I mean, did you guys get that impression?
Well, I don't know about soon, but he, you know, what Mossberg said, you know, you're not doing everything you could do. And Tim was just like, I agree. And he knows and he that there's more there.
Like one of those big dramatic winks with his mouth open.
Yeah. But, you know, he said it's an area of intense interest for Apple, and the Apple TV boxes that are out right now are selling really well. And there's obviously, you know, we've reported on this. Leander had the big scoop on the prototype that's out that they're making. And I think it was interesting, his comments about gaming in the TV and about a game console. And of course, Apple's not going to do a traditional game console. You know, I reported on this several months ago. They're not going to do like an Xbox or a PS3 or something like that. And he said, we're not interested in being in traditional gaming, but with the way iOS has revolutionized mobile gaming and all that stuff and what they could bring to the living room, Cook was just like, I think it could be interesting, is what he said. So there's obviously something there. So I think this Apple TV is going to have a lot of different dynamics to it that really shake things up.
Let me ask you guys this. In Walter Isaacson's biography of Steve Jobs, he said that Steve Jobs, when they were talking about the Apple TV, had said he thought he had cracked it, right? And in an interview I saw with Steve Jobs a while ago, he was talking about breaking into the TV industry, and he said the problem with the TV industry is that all your cable providers and you know, like television show providers and programming providers are providing you with this box. So it's hard for Apple to create a great product in that industry, because you're already getting a box for free. There's no reason for you to go out and buy a new box, something that Apple would sell you. And that was their big problem. Do you think that this kind of clicked with me this morning? When he said he thought he cracked it, I think what he meant was, by cracking it, they're going to release a TV that has all that functionality included already. So when you buy it, you don't need the cable box anymore, because it's already included in the television that you're purchasing. So you don't need the cable company to give you one of those boxes. And I kind of had an epiphany at that moment. I was like, did I just figure out the code? Do you guys think that might have been what he was talking about, Buster?
John Brownlee actually wrote an article kind of pretty much saying that a month or two ago.
Oh, really? I didn't see it.
Yeah. But yeah, I think that's a really good point that, you know, you have this box in between your TV and you. And in order for Apple to actually make some significant changes to that market, they would really have to be making a TV that also is able to control the flow of content on that screen in a very primary way, instead of just providing a box, like you're saying.
Right, because in my logic, I'm like, well, Steve Jobs knows you're not going to buy a box, right? Because you don't need one. You already have a box.
Right.
So he's going to trick you, and he's going to put the box in the TV, and he's going to sell it to you anyway because you're paying a premium for the TV since it's an Apple product. But now you're buying the box, and you don't even know that you're buying the box. But now you have the box.
The interesting thing is, though, that like Samsung and Sony, they've both been trying, you know, like a TV with Netflix and Hulu and all of, like, you know, Google TV on it. And Google TV really failed hard. And it was a decent product. But so it'll be interesting to see how Apple makes it a whole lot better than what they already tried.
Well, that's a really interesting point, because this has definitely been tried before. But you could argue that this has been thing about phones, right? It's like people were like, oh, well, email already exists on phones. You could already use the WAP internet on a phone. What's Apple going to do? And they came in and they kind of unified the whole experience, right? So now
yeah,
they have an
exactly.
App store.
That was going to be my point, is that we got to think about how Apple works with their releasing new products. And they don't just do like this, we're going to take the box and put it in the TV and that's the next logical step. They like leapfrog 10 years into the future so that everyone else has to catch up. They did with the iPhone and the iPad. That's definitely what they'll do with this. I mean, Johnny Ive said in a recent interview, their head product designer, that he's most excited about what they're working on right now, which is probably this Apple TV. And, you know, they're going to unify everything, you know, like they did with the iPhone. Think about all the things that make a living room experience. You want to communicate, you know, I think the next generation of TVs, you know, they're already doing, some of them already doing this, but, you know, cameras, this new thing could have FaceTime. You know, Leander's piece said that there was a FaceTime camera that could track your face as you move around the room. You know, it should have Siri. It should have seamless interaction with all your Apple devices, your iOS devices, universal remotes as your iPhone. You know, just tying in the whole ecosystem so that you have this living room hub. You know, this iHub that is more than TV. It's internet. It's everything.
Right. And that's the benefit that Apple has over like Samsung and Sony, is they don't have that whole ecosystem, and they don't have iTunes and all of the content and the apps to back it up.
That's always been Apple's core advantage over every other tech company, is their ability to create ecosystems. And you can guarantee that this Apple TV will be their biggest, you know, tie-in and foundation to that ecosystem. And it will bring all these mobile products together.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. It's going to be an extension of the experience you already know and love, right? I mean, and you'll probably be able to control it with your iPad or your iPhone, which is going to be amazing. Let's talk about Siri. If you've listened to this show for a while, you know how I feel about Siri. We have a dysfunctional relationship, and she never understands what I'm saying, and it drives me insane. Walt Mossberg, to his credit, pretty much straight up said that to Tim Cook. He's like, Siri works. When it works great. He's like, but a lot of people have problems with it, and it doesn't understand what you're saying. It gives you wrong results. You know, misinterprets what you're trying to say to it. And Tim very eloquently dodged the question by saying, Siri, you haven't seen all that Siri can do yet.
Right.
And he was implying that Siri had a lot of functionality that they're going to be releasing, you know, sometime in the near future or sometime in the future. He said they have a lot of people working on this, and there's a lot that Siri is going to be able to do. Let's hope one of those things is actually understand what you're saying.
That's the biggest hurdle, you know, right now. It doesn't matter if you tie it to, you know, the iPod and all these other devices. If it doesn't, you know, understand what you're saying, then, you know, all those other cool new features really won't matter that much.
Yeah, that's very true.
But I mean, as much as we hate Siri, you have to acknowledge that it's still better than anything else out there.
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't say it's better than everything else out there, because
What else is on phones that people are using?
Actually, Android has some pretty good voice recognition features. Like Google Voice, it actually works really well. I felt like it understands a lot better than Siri. So I wouldn't just discount everybody else, but
I'm not discounting, but I'm just saying that
you're saying
they've already created they've already created something people like generally, even though, you know, people have their gripes, but something that's more marketable and something that's got more personality than anything else out there.
Well, and that's the big difference, is that it has personality, but as far as the technology itself working, it's not extremely different than anybody else other than the personality, I think.
Yeah. I mean, as the product grows and gets older, of course they're going to, you know, it's going to get better at recognizing voice and stuff. But it's such a tricky thing. Nobody's really done it well ever.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
But obviously, I think what Cook was talking about with making it broader and, you know, they're doubling down on it was his little saying of the night. But that, you know, we're going to see a third-party API finally for apps, you know, so you can interact with just random apps with Siri, which will be great. You know, jailbreaking has already allowed you to do that for several months, but it will be nice to have that probably in iOS 6. But yeah, Siri, I'm excited for what Siri's got going.
I am too. Let's kind of daydream a little bit here about other features we'd like to see, because I mean, Siri is very limited to what she can do right now, obviously. And the third party API stuff is the biggest stuff that I'm most excited about. I mean, if I could say, Siri, play, you know, Rolling Stones in Spotify, that right. would be super cool, right?
I can do that already, but normal phones can't.
Is it because you can do it?
Yeah, jailbroken. Yeah.
And that adds like a third party API to Siri?
Kind of. Jailbreak developers create certain tweaks for certain apps. So it's not like a full across the board API support, because only Apple can do that. But, you know, if a developer wants you to be able to control Spotify, you can make a tweak for that.
Oh, interesting. Now, tell me if you guys know this. Can you tell Siri now to navigate to an address and have it open up Google Maps, you know, and show you like where you're going? You can do that already.
Directions. Yeah, that's in the ads on TV and stuff.
I did not know you could do that. Flummoxed. Yeah, I'm flummoxed. That reminds me when I was showing Leander something at CES, and it was a very buster. Do you remember this?
Yes,
what was I showing him?
You were showing him group iMessaging, and he was just blown away.
His jaw dropped. No. I don't know. This happened more than once then at CES, because I was showing him, we were at the Microsoft keynote, and he needed to get some files onto his computer, and I showed him how to use AirDrop, and the same thing happened. His jaw dropped, and he was like, I can't believe you can do this. And I was like, editor of Cult of Mac, ladies and gentlemen, editor of Cult of Mac. There's just so many little things that that are in, you know, iOS and Mac OS that you just would never think to use if you didn't have a purpose to use them. And then you see them and you're like, whoa, this really is magical.
Right. You just forget about all those features, you know, you read about it and then, you know, you kind of go on, and if it doesn't become part of your daily use, like you said, then yeah, it's totally not in your mind. And
that's really
it's like
true.
You're discovering it new again.
Yeah, and Leander made lots of discoveries at CES 2012 that we showed him. I felt like it was like a kid showing his dad how to use his iPad.
Yeah.
That was really funny. But yeah, the group iMessaging one was really hilarious, because I was like, you don't know how to use this, dude? This is like one of the most basic functions of your iPhone, but he didn't.
Oh, it's like a chat room? Oh, this is crazy.
Let's talk about secrecy for a moment. Tim said he was going to double down on secrecy, and then he said, I'm very serious about this. Double down. Do you guys feel
if
like...
If he's going to double down, I am scared of what that will look like.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, geez.
Was he not impressed with the way Steve Jobs had handled things?
I know. They have...
There needed...
Well, they have like an Apple Gestapo that like a serious organization in Apple that's only purpose is to trace down where rumors leak.
Yeah, they have hitmen already. I mean, it's like, what more do you?
Yeah, it's insane. I don't know how. What else they're gonna do?
I guess what they could do is they could probably control manufacturers a little bit better, so that all those parts don't leak out as well. But you'd have to have somebody there all the time and keep the, you know, product runs limited when you're testing out stuff.
And they already have.
It could be really hard.
They already have security guards there at every step of the way when products are being transported, and yet somehow they still leak out.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I mean, there's such a demand for that type of information, right? I mean, it's inevitable that someone's going to leak it.
I thought
I don't think really double down is possible, honestly. I just don't think it's possible. I mean, they're already so secretive.
I haven't heard a Steve Jobs or make a comment like this, but a reporter there at the conference, a friend of mine, actually Jordan from MacRumors, asked Cook what he thought about rumor sites, basically, and like the Apple News scene, and he's basically just like, we love it. And it was kind of refreshing to hear that from the horse's mouth, because you kind of feel like Apple just gives the cold shoulder to its fan sites and stuff. But he was like, you know, of course, I think he said, you know, of course, I don't like to see confidential information printed on the web, but we recognize that we have this community of very, you know, engaged fans, and that's a huge part of our brand. And so it's just kind of, I've never, you know, I don't recall Steve Jobs making a statement like that. So that was kind of cool to hear Cook
Yeah,
say.
I totally agree. Steve Jobs was kind of hostile towards sites like us, Apple News sites, and I think that's unfortunate, because what Tim Cook said that I really appreciated, he was like, we're fortunate to have your attention. Which
right.
I really agree with. They are fortunate to have our attention. I think that's the hardest thing to get from somebody. Their money is easy. Getting their attention is difficult.
They get so much free press.
Yeah.
And, you know, without blinking an eye. And you just wonder sometimes if they take it for granted. So it's nice to see that Cook seems very humble about it.
He really does. I mean, I really liked what I saw from Tim Cook. I mean, on one hand, he was, you know, confirming that they're going to keep innovating. They're going to keep things secret as they always have, which I kind of think is flirtatious. It's like, I'm like, ooh, secret. I want to know what you got now. But in the same sense, he's like, we appreciate the fact that you are so interested in what we're doing, and we're going to try and keep it secret from you. But if you find out, it's like, oh, well, you know. One last note about Tim Cook. They asked him about Steve Jobs, of course. And I thought it was a touching moment. I mean, he got very emotional. And I thought he was going to break down in tears, honestly, like, because I thought he was struggling to get out his words. And he said, you know, when Steve Jobs died, it was the saddest day of his life, and that he had learned a lot from Steve Jobs. And did you guys see that moment where they were asking him those questions?
Yeah.
I thought it was really touching.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the heart of Apple, and it's, you know, there's always going to be that sting there, but it was nice to hear him talk about how, you know, what Steve taught him and what Steve taught the company and has shaped the company into, and how he aligns himself with that so closely.
Yeah, it really was. And the whole thing was great. I mean, go to All Things D and check out the videos. They have a really good summary video that's 17 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really well made, and goes through a lot of like the different topics they talked to Tim about. What were you going to say?
Some great tidbits we didn't really mention, but yeah, he hinted at Facebook integration and iOS coming up, and you know, he clarified that the iPhone 4S is named for Siri, and just little things like that it's cool as an Apple fan to hear.
Yeah, that's a great point. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we're not able to fit into the show, but if you go watch the video, you'll see all of it. So go check it out. Let's wrap the show up with a segment I love. I love it. It's your it's listener questions and comments. We called out for these, and thank you all for giving us your attention. And we got a ton of great questions and comments. So I want to run through these real fast, and we'll answer all of your queries. The first one is from Nikos Divos. I wonder if he's Greek. And he said, did you see the Facebook page, "We Want a New Mac Pro"? Your thoughts and comments. Did you guys hear about this? Somebody started a Facebook page asking for new Mac Pros, and it has like 8,000 likes now.
It's a pretty good indication of how many people want it.
Yeah, that's 8, true. And I don't think Apple cares, but...
That's our answer to this guy. Yeah. We don't think Apple cares.
Unfortunately, I don't think Apple cares. I mean, a lot of people are making a big deal out of it, and I'm like, I wish they did. I really do, but I don't think that they do. 8,500 people to Apple is like nothing. But yes, we want a new MacBook Pro too. We obviously Mac talked Pro. About that. Or I'm sorry, Mac Pro. I'd love to see that thing get refreshed and get a new body. Josh Vasquez, Josh 5803 asks, do you think a black MacBook Air or Pro will make a debut? Buster?
No.
No.
Airfon? No.
No.
I think when they were plastic, that was possible, Josh. But now that they've moved on to aluminum, I just don't think it's going to happen.
It's possible, you know, to color like the metal like that.
Yeah.
But they just wouldn't do it.
I can see Johnny Ive going, we've taken a revolutionary black spray paint and taken it to the aluminium. The spray paint makes it look black, isn't it?
You can anodize the metal to certain colors.
He wouldn't say spray paint.
Yeah, you don't spray paint it. You can make Apple it doesn't like spray embed paint it anything. In the metal. But yeah.
He would say iodinized.
Anodinized. You're like, did you add like three vowels to that?
Aluminium.
Matt with 1T asks, hey, what do you guys think about the leaked iPhone 5 casing? I'm not exactly sure which one he's talking about. Alex, do you have an idea?
There's been a lot. There's been different case leak schematics, stuff from overseas, basically showing a 4-inch diagonal screen, a little taller, probably 16:9 aspect ratio. Sure, whatever.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot about this new iPhone size, and you know, I don't think any of us are kind of sure on which way they're going to go yet. I mean, I would love to see a bigger iPhone screen. I think you guys would too, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, maybe.
It's not like I'm craving for one.
Yeah, I'm not.
They need to have a bigger screen on the iPhone 5 or I'm going over to Android. Like, that's definitely not in my thought process at all.
Yeah, me either, but I would love to see it.
I'm curious to see how they'll market it, like what will make it cool. Like, you want this bigger screen because it lets you do X.
What? Yeah. Oh, you can play video games with your thumbs now. Both sides of the screen. I'm just saying.
Dan Miller, he's at Pyronic, PIRONIC. Okay, sorry, not C. 17. He asks, question for the next cult cast, what's your WWDC wish list? Well, Dan, I don't really care about any of the classes at all since I'm not a developer. My wish list is a new MacBook Pro Air, baby. That's what I want to see. I want to see a MacBook Pro with new Intel hardware, better graphics, SSD, hard drive, no DVD player, retina display screen. Buster?
I want to see a redesigned iMac because I need one. So.
Oh, and rumors are those are going to have retina displays as well.
Mm-hmm.
Alex?
I want to see iOS 6 awesomeness. I want to see the new Mac, which you talked about, the MacBook Pro, because I'll be buying one of those.
Oh, me too.
And I want to see a new Apple TV OS with third-party apps. Yeah.
Whoa, gosh, your wish list is long.
I think it could happen.
Yours a dream list. There's about
three dozen developer workshops that are labeled as TBA.
Ooh.
So I think there was a rumor on BGR earlier this morning saying that Apple's got a totally new OS that's going to debut, and it's going to be the one that they ship with the Apple TV that Leander reported on.
Wow.
But they're going to introduce third-party apps and all that stuff. So hoping for that.
You know, honestly, iOS 6, we haven't really heard very much about it, and we haven't talked very much about it because of that. But I'm really excited about iOS 6 too. I think we all are, because I know Apple probably has something amazing up their sleeve since they're holding it. You know, it's so secret. Like, we don't know anything about it.
All we know is the new Maps app, and I think it's going to have this new silver look that this new WWDC app has. Like, instead of the black navigation and blue navigation, it'll all be like aluminium.
I saw that would fall into line with you know, the way their windows look now on the Mac. So right. We will know. WWDC, of course, is on June 11th, so we'll know then. Let me see here. Okay, so Louis Dimofsky, at prospect_SOA asks, what is better long term, MacBook Pro or wait for the next iMac upgrade? Alex, what do you think?
I don't understand that question.
Well, I think what he's asking is it what better to get a MacBook Pro now when they update them, or should I wait for an iMac upgrade?
Well, it depends on, I mean, if you want a MacBook, then get the new MacBook. But like, the iMac and the MacBook Pro are different devices. Like, if you need a desktop computer, then get an iMac. But if you want a laptop, then get a MacBook Pro. Then it's not like one.
Yeah,
they're not the
really
same
hard
thing.
To tell somebody you should be getting an iMac.
Yeah, it's kind of like saying, should I buy a car or should I ride my bike? No, well,
it's more like saying, should I buy a car or a lawnmower?
Yeah, right.
They're totally different.
Yeah. So, Louis, it depends totally on what you need. If you don't need it to be portable, I say go with iMac, because iMac's going to be more powerful for a lesser price. MacBook Pros, of course, are portable. And I think we're going to see both those get updated soon. So you should be able to make your decision on that probably right after WWDC. Damien asks, what's the biggest change you'd like to see in iOS 6? And he's at impromptu.edu. He said, I think multitasking needs a new look and better handling. Yeah, I kind of like the way multitasking works now, but I'd love to see them improve it. Always room for improvement there, Damien. As far as biggest change we'd like to see in iOS 6, Buster, any ideas?
You know, it'd be kind of cool if they completely change the UI, I guess, to the way that we interact with apps. I don't know. It's hard to really say. I mean, the app screen, the home screen, it looks fine with all the apps, but we have been staring at it the same way for almost 5 years. So,
wow, has it been that long?
Yeah, so I guess that could be cool to change that up a bit.
Yeah. You know, honestly, what I'd like to see are some dynamic icons. You know, yeah. So, or like dynamic tiles in some way, you know, like when you look at your iPhone, your calendar icon always has the right date on it.
Right.
Yeah, that kind
or
of
like
stuff.
The weather app.
Yeah.
The weather app icon has that. You can do that with jailbreaking, but yeah, that would be neat. I'm going to keep saying that. I'm sorry, but it's true.
You could do, apparently you can do everything with jailbreaking.
This is why I love jailbreaking. All of these iOS features people want, you've been able to do with jailbreaking for months, and it's always been that way.
At MaxCool3R, Max Cooler, I like it. He says, topic that I'd like to hear, compromise that Apple has made since Tim Cook took charge, getting worse handling leaks. I can only assume that he means that since Tim Cook took charge, that Apple has been bad about keeping products secret. I don't necessarily think that's true.
No, that's not true at all.
That's
the
not
iPhone
true at all.
4 leaked, 8 months, 10 months before it was actually released?
Yeah,
and that was on Jobs Watch. So
they've definitely not gotten worse at it. I think, I don't know, in some ways they might be, they're about the same.
No, nothing about this TV, basically, besides like what Leander and a couple other people have said, is pretty good evidence that they've got things on lock.
Yeah, for sure.
No photos of the MacBook Pro. You know, usually there's at least one leaked photo
of
something.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true, especially because it's on the cusp of being released. Yeah. And hey, Tim Cook, hey guys, I'm doubling down on secrecy. So it's going to happen. That's pretty much exactly how he said it, too.
The Fat Albert voice.
Hey. Hey, guys. Just so you know, I'm real serious about this. Jezzy B, with a capital B, says, can we have an iWeb update revamp, or is it going to be put to pasture? As far as I heard, iWeb's done, right?
Does anybody care about iWeb?
Yeah, Jezzy B does. It sucks.
Yeah, iWeb is done, and I think it's been done for a while. I don't think they're going to be updating it at all anymore.
That's part of the Mobile Me legacy stuff that's crap and done.
Yeah, and I mean, Jezzy B, there's a lot of other products out there you can use. You could take this opportunity to learn HTML, although that's probably not something you want to do. You could use WordPress if you want to set up an easy blog. I mean, I never really thought iWeb was a great tool.
No.
I know it was easy to use, but it was
a
nightmare.
Just go get a Tumblr.
Yeah,
re-blog,
get a Tumblr.
Cute pics of kittens.
Yeah.
Dan Darwood at Darwoodster asks, do you really think Apple, who really dislikes fragmentation, will choose a new aspect ratio for their screen? Alex, what do you think?
That's something I've been wrestling with since all these rumors came out, and it's a really good question because it is fragmented. There's like five different ways they could do it, and I don't know. I'm not a designer, so I don't know all of these different, like, you know, I get confused by all these, you know, stretching pixels and changing aspect ratios and all that. But from my basic understanding, they could do a new aspect ratio, which would totally, you know, I've talked to developers, and about 70% of app design is layout. And so once you change that aspect ratio, you've got to totally redo your layout. And that's just a ton of work to throw on developers all of a sudden with no warning. So I really don't see them doing that. That's just it would be such an outrage from the developer community if that happened. So, I mean, their Retina display already has so many pixels per inch that they could just stretch that out about half an inch and still call it Retina, and you would just have a blown up display. But then at the same time, I'm like, I don't understand why they would do that. What's the point of that? So I'm not really sure. Maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll see a part of the OS at the top or the bottom that's always there, like a widget bar or some. I don't really want that, but that's the only way I could think of.
I can't see Apple doing that, and that's been my question too. Is if they make the screen longer and they add an extra row of icons on your home screen, that fixes the home screen problem. But once you open an app.
Yeah,
I mean, what's it going to look like? I can't imagine they're going to keep a bar there because, the whole purpose of the iPhone is like once you open an app, you're immersed in that app. The device becomes that app, right?
Yeah.
In fact, did you write that, Alex? That's fine.
In portraits, that's fine because you can just stretch. Well-made apps are designed to do that already because when you double tap the home screen, you've got that status bar warning thing and you've got stuff like that that stretches the app out already. So apps are already okay to do that in portrait, but that would totally jack up landscape. You'd be able to view 16:9 video, which would be nice, but games and all that stuff would have to totally be redone. So it's a pretty big problem, and I don't think anybody will know until Apple shows it and everyone's like, that makes sense.
To have it. Well, I think the new iPhone will probably be the first phone I buy not having qualified for it. I'm just going to buy
it. $700.
Oh, dude. I know. They're going to be so expensive. But, you know, at least here in the U.S., you can sell your current model iPhone on eBay for $500, $400 or $500, depending on what model you have. They hold their value really well. So if I had to drop like $200 on a new phone and I could get, you know, $500 for my phone, it's like, there you go. That pays for itself. But in any case, that is all the time we have, guys. I think we actually went over it, but that's all right. We were having a good conversation. Next week's show is going to be the one right before WWDC. Hopefully we'll have some more rumors to talk about. We should be seeing some more leaks right before the show, don't you think, guys?
Yeah.
I mean, they can't keep everything a secret
leaks,
for forever. Yeah.
Leaks pick up. They don't slow down.
So we're excited. It's an exciting time to be an Apple fan. All will be revealed. Well, mostly everything, not the iPhone stuff. Mostly everything will be revealed by June 11th. Don't buy an iMac. Don't buy a MacBook Pro this week. Don't do it. We warned you.
Don't do it.
This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. You know, the banter continues on Twitter. You should go follow Buster right now. He's BST3R. He has excellent, well-phrased tweets. And, of course, Alex tweets. They're some of the best in the land. He's just Alex E. Heath on Twitter. That's H-E-A-T-H. I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N. And for the best news, reviews, and how-tos, definitely follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. We will see you guys next time.
Toodaloo!
Is that the sound that Twitter bird makes?
I don't know. I was inspired.
Hey, y'all ready to talk about some Apple stuff?
Welcome to the CultCast.
For the record, I just want to say that I like your accent.
30 of the best minutes of Apple combo you've ever heard.
Hey, Alex, do a lot of people out there really have accents that bad?
In certain counties.
Oh, okay.
You have to go out to like the boondocks, but yeah, it's definitely here.
Hey, now, Tim Cook sounds like he's got a little southern accent going on.
Tim Cook's got a little bit of Alabama.
His accent sounds a lot like yours, at least to me. Where is he from?
He's from Alabama, so I don't know.
Oh.
He went to Auburn.
Although he dropped Kentucky's name during the All Things D thing. That was pretty great. Yeah, he was like, we make the glass in Kentucky. We make that iPhone glass in Kentucky. Make the chicken.
I'm going to try to break into that plant because it's like that'd an hour and a half from my house.
You really should. And like, you could do like a whole video on how
an expose of like behind the scenes.
There's just a bunch of bored people making glass. There's like no security anywhere.
The laser cuts the glass into tiny squares over and over.
And over.